All right. Well, welcome, everyone. I'm here today with Frank Thayer from Boston Children's Hospital, here to talk about sharing experiences with electronic research administration systems, particularly focused on the Huron Research Solutions, specifically around leveraging delivered solutions and staying off of customizations. This is one in a series of podcasts that we're doing on this topic. To introduce myself, I'm Philip Inferna, one of the senior directors at Huron. I've been in the industry working almost entirely on research administration systems for the last 16 years. For the last six of those, I've been primarily focused on assisting clients with the Huron Research Solutions. And with that, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today, Frank Thayer. Frank is the director of research administration at Boston Children's Hospital. And among several things in that role, Frank oversees the use and implementation of the Huron research software to support Boston Children's research community. Frank, maybe you could introduce yourself.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me here today. I have been in and working within research in various capacities almost my entire professional career, first as a research administration at Massachusetts General Hospital, and I've had varying roles within analytics, information systems, and right now where I've been focused in the past 10 years of my career is in research administration as a whole and operations specifically. Most recently, I was at Partners Healthcare and was the assistant director of research applications and moved over here to Boston Children's Hospital about 2 years ago, overtaking the operations and information systems that the research administration team here has been using for quite some time. So I am familiar with not just Click products, but other products in the industry. And I've had specific experience with the Click system since 2 years ago. I come into this knowing that the people here at Boston Children's Hospital and the research team have been using this application for prior to 2005. And so we're happy to share our experiences. It's a little bit unique in that we've had the application and many of the modules for quite some time. And I think our experience isn't all that unusual, but the sheer volume of modules that we have and the length of time that we've been using them makes us a little bit unique in that particular situation.
Which is great. And that's one of the things that I thought would be great to talk to you specifically about this topic. And, you know, Frank and I, we share some experience having both come from Partners at one point in our career working in research administration, research administration software specifically. So we've both had that experience of working in an environment with very custom homegrown solutions. And then here now at Boston Children's working with the Huron research software that does date back very early in its life cycle, and Children's is in a very unique perspective, not totally unique perspective, but unique as compared to some of the clients in the industry where it's been many years on that same software suite and seeing the journey over a long period of time. So it's a very, I think, interesting perspective to kind of bring to this conversation, because frankly, I think the entire industry over the period of time that I've been involved, and you and I have both had that opportunity to work within the industry for long enough to have seen things change and mature.
Yep.
And so that's an interesting part that I thought would make a lot of sense to talk about today. So I'll connect this to the panel discussion that we had at the Huron Research Software Conference in UCLA. So Frank's one of the panelists that was speaking in that conference. And so some of you may have had the opportunity to hear that conference live and hear that panel discussion. Others may not have been able to make it to that. So we also wanted to give this experience to share some of that information in another format. So if you missed that, or if there was an interest to dig a little bit deeper into some of the topics that we talked about in that forum, this is a great opportunity to hear more. So to kick things off, I thought it would be helpful to start by providing some context for the audience around what solutions Boston Children's has today. So when you look at your ERA footprint, what is made up of that here at Boston Children's?
So as I kind of alluded to earlier, we have currently, six different modules, which we've employed across varying business processes and business teams here at Boston Children's Hospital. Historically, like I said, we started off in around 2005, and I should say going back, the implementations that we have, if you know the dates, you would recognize that we started off on the platform when they were all RX-based implementations. And so our first implementation that we, or module that we rolled out was the EIRB module, followed by grants and contracts, safety or biosafety, specifically here at Boston Children's Hospital, a conflict of interest module, to a smaller degree or a shell of a module at this point in time, just for some very specific business processes for clinical trials. And just this last year, we implemented the eCERTS effort reporting application, which coincides and really utilizes side by side both data and business processes of the rest of our with the rest of our CLIP modules. So we have, like I said, six different modules dating all the way back to, through 2005, and actually we're looking at other modules that we may be implementing within the next few years, obviously giving specific circumstances around funding and things along those lines. I would say that, you know, in this audience, you know, we are wedded to the product. The team has been working in it for a very long period of time. We have a fair amount of customization across all of our modules. To be honest with you, having been and seen other implementations and the level of overhead and support that are necessary for those, I would say that my experience over the past 2.5 years here has been relatively quiet in terms of managing the day-to-day, keep the lights on for those applications. So we're very happy with our interaction and our continued relationship with the entire CLIP platform. Like I said, we're looking at moving forward and expanding that, if at all, if we can.
Which is great stuff to hear. And, you know, for those that may be unfamiliar, so the RX, what we call RX in our world, are date back to the solutions when they were, some might remember the term starter sites. So this, I think, goes to that evolution, I think, that you and I are talking about around the beginning part of the industry using the software. Things were still early in their maturity in terms of figuring out how to leverage software to support research administration, where there was still early in the stages of having consistency in business processes, recommended business processes. So what we started with and what a client would take of the CLIC solutions back in the 2005 timeframe when you're starting EIRP was a great starting point, but clients generally made them their own and modified them in ways that married to the business process that existed in the organization today. Yep. So I suspect some of what you're talking about in terms of, in your experience here at Children's, the energy to keep the lights on has been relatively low because you're in this steady state where the systems are customized right to the needs of Boston Children's and the business operations are happy with those. Is that kind of the case?
I think that's a part of it. I don't want to necessarily underemphasize the stability of the application and our team's commitment to continue to invest in the infrastructure that allows us to support that. So we've continued to grow. You know, our research enterprise every year grows by a significant amount. We're not doing less research protocols or grants, and so that continues to grow. We're continuing to expand the use of the application, and for what it's worth, the application has allowed us to do that and to not necessarily be tremendously concerned with the infrastructure to support, you know, for instance, a significant increase in the files that we're saving within the application or whatever. I think it's been pleasant to see after my previous experience.
That's cool. So you mentioned in the end of your timeline, so you started things in 2005.
Yep.
Went from EIRB to grants, and most recently you described going in and doing the eCERT implementation. That was very recent. So how has the eCERT implementation differed from some of the other implementation that you've done in the past?
So I would I'd also lump in with the eCert implementation, because I think it's a similar type of concept in terms of how we approached it, the conflict of interest module, which we implemented. While it was an RX platform, we had gone into that process, and similar to effort reporting, knowing that we needed to improve our business processes, and really wanted to leverage existing knowledge base that I think Curon had, as well as within the research community here in Boston. And so we borrowed, if I can use the word, a tremendous amount of business processes from our one of our sister institutions, number one. But number two, we also leveraged significantly the resources that the Curon team brought to the table for the eCert implementation as well. And, you know, I think that transition really is made possible when an institution, in my experience, is trying to improve a process that's already acknowledged as being a little bit broken or a little bit outdated. The problems in terms of, or I wouldn't necessarily say problems, but when you look at making the decision between an off-the-shelf or a customized application, the drivers for why you're looking at either of those things really need to be investigated and understood very fully. I would say, you know, from a RX perspective, in our modules that were implemented when they were on a purely customized process, we were going through, and the entire industry was reacting to a large change in government regulations, or a change in technology, for instance, system to system, and things along those lines. That and the institution simultaneously wasn't all that concerned with their existing business process. What they were doing was working. The grants were going out the door. The protocols were getting reviewed. But that we needed to react to some type of external force. Here, in terms of conflict of interest and as well as effort reporting, we were reacting to our known or identified issues with our own business process. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't this need to, or at least the leverage wasn't there from the existing teams that were responsible for these business processes to say, we're doing great, we just need to, you know, need an electronic solution. They knew that they had problems. They knew that we needed to bring in expertise in order to figure this out. And so in those types of situations, I think business teams are much more open to a new process, or so they're thinking outside of the box.
So they're looking sort of at their own opportunities within their organization to say, how can we do this better or more efficiently or improve the experience with
the
community?
And as a project manager, that makes your case is so much stronger when you can come in and say, this is a problem. We have to fix the problem. And clearly what you were doing wasn't working.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, we're going to create efficiencies. We're going to make this faster. We're going to improve your existing business process. Those are harder change management things to try and do. Just by themselves, let alone, all right, we're going to at the same time implement a totally new software implementation.
Yeah. So in the case of the effort reporting, was that really an opportunity to say, let's look at the whole picture.
Yeah.
Let's look at process. Let's look at systems. Let's look at how, I mean, effort reporting, conflict of interest, those are two particular business areas where they can be somewhat burdensome on the investigative community at some point.
And the risk is absolutely huge.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't. You got to do that right.
You have to do it right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of go at it and know where your leverage points are. And in those particular cases, it was, and as someone who's been managing large enterprise systems, my first inclination is to go off the shelf as much as possible, knowing how expensive and the overhead is for maintaining a custom application. And so you try and make that work as best you possibly can, and we got lucky for the past two modules that we rolled out.
Mm-hmm. So how would you say it differed in terms of how you approached it from the onset? So did you start the project differently? Did you position the project differently? I think one of the things that I'm interested in getting at, and the more I talk to different folks within the industry, trying to sort of wrap our heads around what's different from the very beginning if you set out on an intent to implement a software solution in this way where you're looking at the opportunities more holistically and looking to stay away from customizing. Was there a difference in terms of how you approached it?
Absolutely. I think, again, coming from business processes which are either identified in compliance audits or, you know, people are literally drowning under, I think it are opportunities where you can kind of come in and save the day, if you will. You're not figure, not literally, but obviously coming in and saying, hey, we can make your lives easier. Mm-hmm. We can do that. We can, you know, create less work, reduce the amount of risk, and if we're lucky, really allow you to do other things besides this horrible administrative process. Those are easy wins, and you can, if you can deliver on those types of things, then you can really go in and change business processes for the better. And I think when that is the case, my approach is, and I would say, you know, here at Children's, that this works. So you can basically go into the process and go into the project and dictate the terms in which it's actually going to get done. You can dictate timeline, you can dictate participants, and that's easy. You know, in large academic medical centers, there's a very heavily matrixed organization. And so you're a project manager implementing this type of large module, if you will, and getting anybody to do anything for you is always a challenge. So those are good projects, and those are projects I think anybody really likes to come in and say, all right, you're given an opportunity to kind of save the day, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier on, and if you look at the modules, whether it's the IRB and grants and contracts, like I said, these were processes which had to react to external forces. And so I think from that perspective, you have to be a lot more sensitive to the work that people are doing today. To try and reduce the burden and reduce the amount of change that they're going to have to do in order to be able to do this. There's always going to be opportunities for improvement, and you want to try and highlight them. But in that case, I think approaching the rollout or approaching the project as if you are a part of their process and a part of their team and trying to learn as much as you possibly can side by side with what they're doing that works. And where are those areas that you might be able to exploit in order to give them an added benefit to adopting a newer technology? Always a lot more challenging, I find. Like I said earlier, change management is absolutely critical in that, and it usually extends the timeline of those types of projects. I would say, you know, ECERT and conflict of interest, they went in relatively quick. You know, I would say 6 to 7 months from beginning to end, if you will. Larger grants and contracts type of implementations, I've been on one that, you know, went a year and a half. But that's just the reality of kind of getting people along and bringing them along throughout that entire process and then seeing it through to the end.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the topic of change management. And one of the thoughts, or at least the things that I've been encountering, particularly as places look to adopt software solutions and modify processes to match the solutions and the recommendations, there can be less work from a technology standpoint. Mm-hmm. You're spending less time customizing and configuring software. But then you're faced with the modification of the process
yep.
surrounding it. And so some of the work, in my experience, can shift a little, less technical, more process-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what that experience was like on the conflict of interest and
sure.
the effort solutions that I have. Was there anything in terms of what you approached for change management that differed in terms of
mm-hmm.
Everything from sort of getting the word out through to making sure
yep.
processes did sort of change to the better?
I would say the work from a change management perspective, obviously everyone talks about, you know, getting out and being present and the communication plan that goes along with it. That's, of course, that those things all have to be there. But really, I think for me, the pre-work in prep before any of this is communicated out is the most critical component to that. And that is for a lot of this, sometimes a lot of this pre-work, and I'll talk a little bit about that, it goes nowhere, if you will. But sometimes that makes or breaks change management process. And what I mean by pre-work is really the analysis of what is the current situation? What is the current status of the business process that you're trying to improve? What are the areas or the gaps in that business process? What's the risk associated with that? What is that risk how can you quantify that risk in terms of real world hours, resources, whether that's financial resources or people resources, and begin that awareness with leadership. And that takes a long time. Sometimes leadership has other priorities, and they're not prepared to move on any of these types of things. And so it takes someone with patience and who's not necessarily going to keep bringing these things up. Kind of, hey, that's in the conversation of an issue that's somewhat related, and like, what bringing that up to your manager, to the person who may have a little bit more sway in terms of budgeting, like, that's similar to a problem that we were talking a couple of months ago. You remember this, that, and the other? We talked about it. It's still here, by the way. Mm-hmm. And if we want to try and do something about it, we have some ideas, or I have some ideas in terms of how we could approach that. Like I said, half the time it goes nowhere. But the other half, when in fact there may be an external force which comes in, but like I said, whether that's a compliance risk or there's a change in leadership, a lot of times, people want shovel-ready projects. People want to be able to make an impact. And so if you're ready to move on something and you've already developed that awareness within your leadership of the things that you have been identifying as issues and could be, easy wins for the team, or maybe not easy, but good wins for the team.
Concrete.
Absolutely. People respond to those things.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my work that we try and do as a team is, making sure that we, if asked, we know what our next 2 to 3 steps could be. If in fact there was funding that was, made available that no one knew about. Sometimes happens at the end of the fiscal year, if you're lucky. There's an audit risk that pops up that someone wants to do something about. Being prepared for those types of things and getting that change management piece started earlier and continuously really helps, because once you get that awareness and you get the approval from the leadership, then being able to talk to the people that are actually going to go through that change, having them know that their boss or the leader within their organization is fully behind this and needs to move forward helps with that matrix organization.
Mm-hmm. So I hear awareness, I hear quantifying and measuring.
Yep.
So those are some of the things that you had to tackle to get ready to start that effort reporting project.
Without a doubt. I mean, you can't, it's one thing to say, well, everyone hates this business process, we need to do something about it. But if you haven't said, all right, yeah, we hate it, and it, this generates over 3,000 paper copies every year, that have you seen the file cabinet that so-and-so is keeping of all these previous effort statements? I mean, that makes a difference, as opposed to, yeah, I know it's terrible, we really should do something about it. It's also costing us X amount of dollars in order to store this stuff annually.
So you think that approach is something that you'll see, is it a trend that's happening within your organization? And,
mm-hmm.
The trend being comparing the types of ways that projects were approached 10 years ago
mm-hmm.
to now, is it more opportunistic in terms of whether there's opportunities that you're seeing to improve a business area, or would you say that there's momentum across the institution to steer clear of customizations and try to focus more on mm-hmm. process improvements and industry-defined best practices? Where would you say your organization is in that spectrum and how that sort of plays out into research administration?
It's a good question, and I can't say that, we're fully in one camp or another. I think it really definitely depends still on the business process. It depends on, where our expertise is. And if we feel as if we are an expert in a particular business process, I'm not sure any off-the-shelf application is going to fit in a way that people are happy with more than anything else. And so, it's not these are large academic medical centers do not have a top-down type of decision-making process. This is all a decision by consensus.
Mm-hmm. When there are opportunities for off-the-shelf types of implementations, it's really when we're doing something that we don't necessarily consider ourselves to be an expert in.
Got it. Yeah, makes sense. So what do you think in terms of the factors that might influence changes to product-based solutions? So you just mentioned there's really – it depends on the business area. It depends on whether your institution is sort of expert in that business area.
Yep.
Perhaps it depends on the maturity of the availability of solutions out there on the market.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the solutions that you have today covering research administration, are there areas, so maybe it's effort, maybe it's conflict of interest, maybe it's some of the things that you did early on with IRB or grants,
mm-hmm.
is there benefits out there to, as time progresses, moving more into an upgradable path?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything tangibly beneficial that you could see within your organization?
Absolutely. I mean, both in my current organization and previous organizations, there's always going to be a push to make to reduce the amount of overhead. While we have benefited tremendously from having continued support both internally and then, you know, having the budget to kind of bring in outside experts to help us manage the custom applications, those are costs that not every organization and not every business team is going to be able to absorb. So the idea of being able to upgrade with limited overhead, the ability to sit on fixed platforms for longer periods of time is obviously a better implementation from my perspective as someone who's managing them. I'd like to focus on or try to spend as much time as I can on improving the existing business processes, which aren't in the system, if you will, as opposed to managing the upgrade process, twice or three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes to do that. And so if you can reduce that, those are good things. But sometimes those areas, like I said, those business areas where we really, you know, are wedded to our business processes, that they're inflexible for those types of things. And so, it's funny, there's somewhat of a factor of what would we prefer to do and what do we have the budget to do.
Right.
But then also, if you go back to 2005, and you know this as well as I do, the industry was so infantile at that point in time that there really wasn't any off-the-shelf solution. And so by the time they started coming up, you know, we'd already had multiple years of doing it the way we were.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from a enormous change to the landscape of how things are being done, is almost an impossibility to kind of get people to walk away from that.
Once
they've gotten used to that, it's a huge challenge. And either you're going to have a huge budget cut that, you know, we have no choice because these people are going to be let go in terms of the overhead support. Or it's something from the federal government that forces us into another direction.
Yeah, some sort of catalyst for
change. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's never going to come from the inside.
Yeah. So speaking of, so you're talking about the upgrades and things of that nature. What does the team that supports these applications here at Children's look like? What's the makeup of that team? And has that team shifted in terms of their focus over the years? I imagine to some degree they have, because
mm-hmm.
you've put up some really significant implementations. Those are major business areas that you've
yep.
addressed. But can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, the team originally was quite large. And we as an organization, I'm speaking specifically with that research administration, was broken up very much into its own individual silos. And so there were, you know, with the EIRB implementation, that was its own team and its own little silo of a module, if you will, at the same time. So they went first. And we also then hired a second team to do the grants and contract implementation as well. And so they talked to a degree, but it's only recently where we started trying to build and break down, those walls in between the modules and the data between them. It was, you know, it was originally there because that's just how the organization was structured. It was the org chart. ERB was over here and the grants and contracts was over there. And so obviously there's, you know, once they're in, and now we're in the support phase of the implementation, the need for, you know, as many business analysts and project managers that we had was really reduced because there was, you know, a lot of overlap in between them. Mm-hmm. So we started off, a very big team. I would believe there were around 12 to 15 people, that they were there on a
During
the active implementation. We're currently, we still have two full-time software engineers which work on the application upgrades and new functionality. We also have a full-time systems administrator, and we have a part-time systems administrator that's primarily serves as a backup over at the data center. I have myself, who kind of acts as a project manager, business analyst, and have since I came on board, but we're getting more and more technical in our users as well, and so we're kind of offsetting some of the gap in business analysts with the actual people in the business units. And so any project that we take on within any module, that was one of the first things that we discuss, is who is going to serve as a business analyst within the team whose module is going to be updated, so that it's clear in terms of what the responsibilities and, you know, who's doing what as we move forward. Before, we were able to kind of come in with a team of business analysts and project managers and kind of kind of hold their hands and walk them through that process. Now they have to, and I think it's if you're asked for about trends and things along those lines, I would say that's a trend that I've seen more recently, as people within research administration kind of age out, if you will, and there is a younger generation of grants managers or people within the central office that are coming on board, this idea that they would be an act as a business analyst in terms of being able to talk about the business requirements and also a technical solution is more common. And I would say even 5 years ago, doing some implementations, you kind of shook your head a little bit at the level of sophistication from a technical side of some of the people that you were interacting with.
Yeah.
And that's gotten, I think, a lot better. And it certainly allowed us to kind of operate as we have been with fewer business analyst type of roles.
So being able to leverage the business operations folks more at the implementations. So I suspect the shift as you start talking about how are you using data to manage your business? Where are there opportunities to improve business process, and less about, well, how am I going to set up this customization or figure this aspect of the system? If you're talking more about what are we trying to achieve and approaching it from how does the technology help, how does the technology not help, what do we change around the technology, then the types of people that you need for that are naturally going to be a bit different, and you need those that are really embedded in the organization that know, whether it's IRB or grants, know that business area inside and out, to know what you can sort of push and what you can't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So as things have shifted and, you know, you're using resources differently, you know, had a couple experiences now with some newer solutions further on in the evolution. Where do things go from here, do you think, at Children's? And how are you preparing yourself for the future? What steps are you taking now to set up your organization, being, you know, the research administration organization, for what might lie ahead?
Mm-hmm. It's obviously in healthcare right now is a very dynamic time. So I mentioned this earlier, but the idea of trying to plan ahead is daunting, but having at least an idea of what your next two or three steps might be, and having them both in terms of communication, having them fully cooked as far as you can take it, in terms of communication out to your leadership, in terms of identifying what are going to be your data variables for quantifying the need to make this particular move. But then also making sure that you know, as an organization, we are, you know, this is a central research administration office that I'm responsible for. And our clients are both our investigators and the research teams, which are applying for protocols and grants and adhering to all of our compliance things. And so I take that very seriously, that we should not only be supporting the central offices, but as importantly, supporting the people that are out there, you know, doing the science and
right.
doing the work on a day-to-day basis. And so we have a number of, whether they be committees and end-user groups, that allow us to solicit information from them in terms of what are the things that they're seeing, what are the ways in which we could improve their business processes. Knowing that you can't do everything all at once, and you may not be able to do anything about it, but at least keeping that line of communication open so that, you know, when those windows or those opportunities do present themselves, that you're able to move pretty quickly, because when the opportunity presents itself, it's usually at a very small window of opportunity. And so you need to be able to act fast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been having this discussion with, you know, the people, you know, the key people in your organization who have that leverage in order to move capital projects forward, then it shouldn't be a conversation that comes out of the blue. It should be something that you've been discussing, that you've, you know, laid out the framework. And they feel comfortable with investing in that type of solution.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we try and be light on our feet as much as possible, but sometimes things get thrown at you that you have no idea. And you know, we recently had a large change in leadership here at the hospital. You know, we didn't necessarily see it coming along, but it came along, and that prep work that we had done over the past, you know, year and a half is starting to pay off, because you know, new priorities, new initiatives, and sometimes people want to make a difference as soon as they possibly can. And if you have something that's shovel ready, that helps.
Yeah.
And that
you
allows you to
case defined.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It allows you to be a contributor in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So those are good things. Yeah.
No, this is fantastic. I mean, I think that, you know, you tied it right there to the investigative community. I mean, at the, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the organization is here to serve patients and
mm-hmm.
also do research. And your team in particular, and my team, you know, as a service provider and a software provider, are ultimately here to be able to facilitate their work
yep.
and make their work easier. And I think that, you know, as long as we're focused on that, trying to figure out better ways, whether it's through thoughtful processes, whether it's through, you know, software, whether it's through simply making these projects smooth
mm-hmm.
so it gets into the investigators' hands and into their support staff's hands faster, making their jobs better. I think we're succeeding. I think we're heading in the right direction. I got to say, you know, I appreciate your time
mm-hmm.
today, and frankly, the time you spent with, you know, our team over the years. You know, it's a long history, and I think that as we've talked about in this discussion, you know, we've both been in a position to see things change and evolve. And I think that evolution, it's fantastic. I mean, it's things are maturing, things are getting better, and I think, you know, the processes are getting better, the software is getting better, and the results are improving. And I think that's what's really fantastic. So. Again, appreciate your time, and
you.
We look forward to keeping the discussion going into the future.
Sounds great. Thanks, Phil.
All right.